A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in Silver Spring, Maryland. Yuma Mem Zayin, Yuma 47a, pagination page 93, starting from the beginning of the new perek, Hotziu lo es hakaf es hamachta, they brought out a ladle and a pan full of ketores, chofan melo chofnov, and he would dig his hands into it in a special way. V'nosan l'socha kaf, and he would take out two handfuls of the ketores and put it into this special ladle in fulfillment of the pasuk that says that he should take melo chafnov, plural, his entire handful. Hagadol l'fi gadlov, v'akatan l'fi katno. Each Kohen Gadol, some of them it would be a big portion, some of them would be a small portion, makes no difference to us, it's the act. And that was its portion, and the Gemara later explains that he would leave it in this ladle until he got into the Kodesh Kodashim in front of the Aron, and then he would have to put that Ketores that he portioned out back into his hands. Vizuhi avoda kasha sheba mikdash, it was a very difficult thing to do, to restore it back into his hands so that he could do the avoda. The reason that he couldn't have the ketores still in his hands as he went in is because then he wouldn't have any hands free. They didn't develop hands free devices yet. How is he supposed to get into the Kodesh Kodashim with the fire pan if his hands are full? So the Gemara suggests, well, they could load him up with the fire pan onto his arms, and they could construct some you know, very long handle. I don't know, they'll figure something out. But then how would he get it off his arms? He would use his teeth. The Gemara says, Lefnei melech basav adam, in front of a human king, you don't do service like that. So how could you possibly do service like that in front of Hashem? So they came to the conclusion, obviously, if Hashem wants him to go in one trip from here to there with a fire pan and ketores, and his hands are full, and we don't create octopuses as Kohen Gadols, so how's he supposed to do it? So we came to the conclusion, it became obvious, that there was going to be a kaf, a ladle that held the ketores, and that's how he's going to be able to get in. Not el samachta bimino, he takes the machta, the fire pan, in his right hand, the esakaf bismolo, and the ladle that has the ketores in it, in his left hand.
You said it was difficult, but it seems like we're just transferring the problem, because now he still only has two hands, and he's got a ladle, and he's got to somehow get into each hand from the ladle. The first hand's easy. But the second hand, how's he going to do that?
Well, you're on good turf, because the Gemara says, "Vizuhi avoda kasha sheba mikdash." This was a challenging thing to do. I'm not quite sure how he did it, but the Gemara is acknowledging. The Gemara didn't come with pictures, but yeah.
Can you carry something in his mouth also?
No. So the Gemara. If you did this Gemara, so that's what you, remember. The Gemara contemplates the possibility that he put it in his mouth and says, absolutely not. That's not a way to serve Hashem. Okay. Drop down in the Gemara, about 12 lines from the wide, counting up from the wide at the end of a line. Notal es hamachto, right after a two dots. He's putting the fire pan in his right hand and the ladle with the ketores in his left hand. Asks the Gemara, excuse me, Yatsiva ba'ara, the citizen is on the ground, v'giyura b'shmei shemaya, and the guest is way up exalted in heavens. It's an expression. You're not honoring the more honorable thing properly. What does this mean? The ketores is the real focus of the avoda. It's the yatsiva, it's the citizen, it's the one that pays membership. He's supposed to get respect. And the kohl's is servicing the ketores. It's a way to burn the ketores. The kohl's are not the main thing. And we know that the more prestigious thing is supposed to be in the right hand. So how could it be that the ketores is in the left hand and the fire pan is in the right hand? How could such a thing be? So the Gemara says, Zumaruba vizumuetes, because the coals are more, and he just needs his stronger hand, presumably the right, his right hand is the stronger hand, is going to hold the coals, and the ketores is less, it could go in the left.
Maybe he's a lefty, or it doesn't matter.
So lefty would be a different problem. It's not clear how can a kohen be a lefty. He's got to do his avodah in the right hand. Mm-hmm. So we have a separate discussion if he trains himself, whatever, mm-hmm. if that's possible. V'afilu b'zman sheshneim shavim. Even if they were equal. U'kamaser Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis. Like the Kohen Gadol by the name of Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, who was a big person, and the amount that he took in his handful was the same as the amount of the kohl. Nevertheless, Zuchama v'tzutzonenes. Even then, where it's equal in amount, but the fire pan is hot, and apparently hot requires a little bit more strength, dexterity, tolerance, and it's still going to make sense to put the fire pan into your right hand and the ketores into the left hand. What is the Gemara telling us about right hand, left hand? It's telling us that even though normally you ought to put the more prestigious thing in the right hand, but under these circumstances that we're trying to get one trip into the Kodesh Kodashim, we're going to be forced into a position allowing you to do the lesser thing in your right hand, because that's what the times require. Mm-hmm. Fascinating Shaila in the Chashukei Chemed, Rav Zilberstein. Person is going lo aleinu into a Beis Avel to deliver the Sefer Torah for the Minyan. He's carrying an Aron in one hand, a Sefer Torah in the other hand. Normally, we're supposed to carry the Sefer Torah on the right. Mishneh Berurah holds even a lefty supposed to hold it on the right. Okay? But right now, this man has a problem because the Aron is much heavier. Mm-hmm. Is he allowed to put the Aron in the right hand and the Sefer Torah on the left in order that he could make one trip? And Rav Zilberstein suggests, maybe from this Gemara that you see, if the only reason you're switching it is because it's too heavy for you, that's a reason that you're allowed to switch. I happen to think the proof needs introspection, because to bring a proof from Yom Kippur going into the Kodesh Kodashim, where he's only allowed to make one trip, so we tell him, obviously, what the Torah wanted you to do was put the ketores in the left hand. We have no other explanation how the Torah expects you to get from here to there with the load that it's telling you to carry. No one asked you to carry the Aron and the Sefer Torah at the same time. Make two trips. So it's an interesting proof. It remains to be contemplated. On the topic of this Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, Kimchis being his mother's name, the Gemara comments that she actually had seven sons who all served in the Kohuna Gedola. Each one, apparently, there was a story how the Kohen Gadol became Tamei, and one of his brothers was designated to serve as Kohen Gadol. Apparently becoming Tamei on Yom Kippur is not so negative that it's considered a punishment. They viewed it as a praise for Kimchis that seven sons were Zoche to be Kohen Gadol at certain point. If you'll see in the Gemara, dropping down into the wide lines about seven lines in the middle of the line, Tafresh Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Shiva Bonim Hayulo Lekimchis, she had seven sons, and this is the child, Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, who was so big that his hands were able to take so much ketores that it was the same amount as the coals. V'kulan shimshu b'kuhuna gedola, all of her seven sons were kohanim gedolim at one point. Amru l'chachamim, the chachamim asked her, ma osisa, what did you do, shezachisa l'kach, that you merited such? Amru lohem, she said, miyomai l'ro koras besi kale sairi. It never happened that the beams of my home saw the braids of my hair. In other words, her hair was always covered. Omrullah, they told her, Harba Osukin Veloho Ilu, there are many people who tried that and it didn't work. They didn't have children who became Kohanim Gedolim. So there seems to be a little bit more to the equation. So just to be brief, because we're out of time, Tosfos Yeshanim points out, left-hand column, first line, B'shah shahaysa yecholah l'chasosam. When she says she never uncovered her hair, it only means when she was able to cover her hair. But obviously there were times when she uncovered her hair, according to Tosfos Yeshanim. She uncovered her hair to wash it. I mean, there would be cases. Tosfos Yeshanim is not assuming, like some people do, that she had some contraption. She was a normal person. It's just when she had an option, she kept it covered. What option are we talking about? So the poskim say, because in front of your own husband, a woman is allowed to keep her hair uncovered. If it's private with her own husband, she's allowed to keep her hair uncovered. A different part of the body would presumably not be tzniyistic. They're eating supper or something. It's private. But she would cover. But the hair, you're allowed to keep uncovered in front of the husband. Kimchis had an added level of tzniyus, that she would cover her hair even in such a situation in front of her husband. She would keep her hair covered. And the Ramban in Igaras HaKodesh says that it's really not the braids of her hair. Like the Gemara says, many people did that, and it's reflective of her entire way of running her life, that there was tzniyus that went well beyond her hair. There was a sensitivity, and she attributed the fact that she had such wonderful children to that proper and noble behavior. Yeshe koach, have a great evening.